Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. right here on WAFS, Atlanta's Biz 1190. I am Eddie Mayfield, and we're glad you're here. Here at Driven to Business, we like to talk about business principles. We like to talk about success. We even like to talk about failure and to learn from it. And we really enjoy talking with folks that are sort of on the front lines of business. And our guest today is exactly that. Our guest today is Asfar Haka. Asfar is the founder and the president of Bulldog Insurance here in the Atlanta area. Asfar, welcome to Driven to Business.
Thank you, Eddie. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. You know, a number of people tell me and will tell us that insurance is the most profitable business in the world. I've always wondered about that. Are they right?
Yes and no both. Depends on how you see it. Insurance companies pay claims.
Right.
You pay the premiums. Sometimes you never have claims.
Right.
When you don't have claims and your premiums go up, you say they're making money. But when they have claims, like the catastrophe that has been happening, all the claims are being paid, insurance companies do lose money.
Right.
So it goes both ways. Depends on how you want to look at it.
You know, a lot of people, almost anybody will tell you that having an insurance is a good idea, but they don't necessarily like to talk to you about it. As far as years ago, when I was a young man, I was in the Coast Guard, actually, living down in New Orleans. And I, for some reason, while I was on duty for a few days, I began thinking about the fact that I was married now, and I needed to get some life insurance. I didn't have any, so I started thinking about that. And so I went home and told my wife, and I said, you know, we have got to get some life insurance. She said, well, how do you do that? And I said, I don't have any idea. And the doorbell rang, and we went to the door, and there was an insurance salesman standing there selling life insurance. And I said, I'm glad to see you. Come on in here. We're probably the only people in that guy's life that ever told him that. And I still have that policy all these years later. You know, owning and running a business myself, insurance is a good idea. In fact, it's essential in business. But you're somebody, but as I said, people generally don't like to talk about it for some reason. But you're in a business where it's important to you that they do talk to you about it. As a business guy and as a salesman, how do you handle that?
Well, you know, I'll give you an example and you'll laugh at it. I once flew into Chicago because my father had to have a surgery. And my mom came to pick me up at the airport. She said, one thing you need to do, don't begin the insurance topic in the hospital. And guess what happens? I'm sitting with my sister-in-law, and she says, as far I need to ask you some questions with regards to some insurance. I said, looked at my mom. I said, Mom, now you tell me whether I should answer or not. But, you know, it's a touchy subject that people begin with.
Right.
And nobody wants to really come to terms with, depends on what you're talking about, business insurance or life insurance. If life insurance, nobody wants to accept death.
Right.
Death is a reality. It's going to happen. How we face it and what do we want to leave behind as a legacy for a family is something that we have to really think about and look at it. Just like in businesses, you will see businesses do want to avoid keeping business insurance, whether it's general liability, whether it's workers' compensation. And guess what? When a calamity hits,
right,
no money, no amount of premium that you would have paid would be good enough for you to have said, okay, am I covered fully? That's the issue we are faced with. I mean, I get calls from people not since the health insurance has begun, but before that they used to call me up and say, hey, I need to get some medical insurance. And I'd say, why? I've got some issues. All right. Would it cover maternity? My second question was, is your wife
pregnant? Is your wife pregnant, yeah.
And how far along? I mean, you have to use things in line.
That's like I just wrecked my car. I need some insurance. It's like
it happens. People will drive the car. I don't know if the numbers have changed or not, but one out of four drivers on the road was running uninsured.
Right.
That means you had a probability of getting hit with an uninsured driver. So it was very good for you to have a coverage which is called uninsured motorist.
Right.
Uninsured motorist is very cheap coverage, but guess what? It covers the liability. It covers your medical payments. It covers your injuries. It'll even pay you for some lost wages. It depends on what limits you have. So it's something that's good to have, but people try avoiding it because they want to be penny wise and pound foolish.
Right. That's a good way of putting that. I do believe that. You know, you were talking about that. That was a funny story. Your mom had told you don't discuss. you know, I'm in the electronic motor drive, the variable frequency drive business, which no one understands if you're not in the business or are users of these products. And I know when our kids were little, they would ask me not to have. Let's don't talk about that at our gathering or whatever we are, because you know, because that bores everybody to tears. And I always kid our guys now and tell them, if you want to totally kill conversation at a party, just start talking about our business. It will dampen all the conversation there right away. So I'm a little bit, I don't get any love in that area either, you know, as far as talking about our business. You know, I did a little bit of research after you had agreed to be on the program, just looking over what people said about starting an insurance agency and what you had to do that. And not surprisingly, the number one thing almost all people said is that the founder of that company needs great sales and people skills and needs to have the finances to survive the startup. Is that your experience as well?
I could not agree with that more. Not only do you need the sales skills, you have to know the knowledge
right
to deal with what questions people will ask, and you also have the financial wherewithal to survive. Because when you open the door for any insurance, it takes you 30 to 45 days to start the revenue to come in.
Right.
The revenue will come in at a very slow pace. You will not make it if you don't have it. A few months of savings lying around that you can invest into
right
your business and make it grow, because you cannot work under a total pressure saying, oh my God, where is my next paycheck going to come in? How am I going to pay the rent?
Right.
That is very, very, very important. I personally am an avid believer that if an insurance agency is for sale, I'll buy it. I would not start a new one. Why? Because obviously I don't want to take a chance. I can pick up an agency that is running,
right,
fine tune it, and make it work and make it profitable, because I know there's cash flow coming in. I have money saved, so I can reinvest in the business, but not at the pace that it's all going out and nothing is coming in to balance it out.
That's, and you know, I have friends as far that are in the manufacturing representative business, and it's the exact same thing. If you start that, there's going to be a long, even if you're successful at it, there's going to be a long time before you begin getting income. And for that reason, a lot of them will tell you it's better to buy, to find an agency where the existing owner's retiring or something like that, and at least buy it so you have some base business there, at least to start with. And you want to build it, of course, but you have, I mean, that is the problem, I think, that of a person starting an insurance business. You know, on top of that, you guys, more so than the business I'm in, an insurance business, you have to deal with a lot of licensing issues that a lot of us don't face.
Absolutely. Any insurance that you want me to purchase from me, whether it's property and casualty, that means auto and home or business, whether you want to purchase life insurance or health insurance, or mutual funds and bonds, you have to have licenses for everything. You cannot sell anything without having a license.
Right.
And it's not easy to get a license because you have to go to school, get your examinations, and get your licenses.
And it varies greatly from state to state, so you can't just open yourself a branch over in South Carolina or something that easily.
Very correct. You're absolutely correct.
That's something in our business that I've never had to face. There's no, you know, there's some electrical licensing type code things and all that sort of thing, but and obviously business licenses and we certainly pay taxes and all that. But as far as being, you know, we're not regulated nearly as much as a business like yours is. How do you find, just as a prospecting guy and having a business, how do you go about like digging up customers? How do you do that?
There are multiple ways of digging up customers. You can purchase lists, which will tell you the X dates when the policies are expiring.
The existing policies. Okay.
They're not your
plan. That explains a lot of emails that I get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. From any of the carriers that you get,
right,
you will see that because they've purchased a list. Then you can send out mailers to the people, whether you can do that. You can also do something which I probably do in my business, which is basically sponsor some events which are happening.
Right.
Whether they are the doctor's events, whether they are community events, whether they are school events that are happening, on the ball games and things of that nature. So you sponsor those events, you become a prime sponsor for that. That kind of gets you the leads, and people say, okay, I need to support him, he's supporting me. So that's the sort of business that we do. And then the last piece, which is very, very, very important, is a referral network.
Yeah.
That has to work. Everybody whom we sell, we say, can you call some of your friends? You're happy with the
right
service? Everything is.
You know, we've talked with many guests on the program here about marketing and advertising, and it really does come down to that refer. It doesn't matter really what business you're in. I don't care if you're an engineering firm. It doesn't make any difference. Referrals trump all other methods of getting business. It's just what people think about you. If I've used the example before. If I were going to go eat lunch here, and I ask our producer, Joey, who works here every day, I said, where's a good restaurant to go to? I'm likely to go where he says, not where I've seen an advertisement.
I'll give you an example on that referral thing that happened to me. This client of mine has, and he's been one of my longest clients.
Right.
He's been my client since 1993 when he first opened his restaurant. He called me up. He says, as far, I've been referred to you by this doctor friend of yours. I need to buy insurance for the restaurant. I said, okay. He says, I'm shopping. Those were his words. I'm shopping. I said, if you're shopping, then why do you want to waste your time and mine? He said, what do you mean? I said, either you trust me that I'll give you the best product for the price and I'll do the great job for you, or you go shop. He said, no, I mean to say, I need you to write my insurance. Because he was from referral, and we ended up having him as a client. He has referred us a chunk of clients. His friends have referred us. So but now when they call us, guess what? They say, I'm ready to buy.
You know, I'm actually a good example of that. In our business, we have bought a lot of things through the years, including insurance from other folks, and you do sort of end up with a lowest price thing. And a lot of times that does not work out. And the misery you get, and not just in insurance, in a lot of things, it matters a great deal to me as I've gotten older to deal with people that I know and trust. And when there's a problem that I can go back to, and I have confidence they're going to resolve that problem.
You're very correct. We, in our office, what we basically plan on doing is we basically sell coverages. We don't compete on price.
Right.
Although we try and get you the best price, but we go through and say, okay, you need this coverage, that coverage,
right.
For your cars or your homes or your businesses. We provide you the coverages. And then at the end of the game, you say, well, these are the coverages that I need. I need to have it. So there's an education process that goes along in selling the insurance.
I think especially since insurance to many of us is sort of voodoo in a way. A lot of us in business are not in the insurance business. We don't know anything about it. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and we will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. And on there will also be links to ASFAR's insurance agency, Bulldog Insurance. We'll be back in a minute. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. As always, we're glad you're here. We're talking with ASFAR. ASFAR is the owner and the president of Bulldog Insurance. ASFAR, how do people find your agency? Where are you? Give us your web address.
Our web address is bulldoginsurance.com.
Okay.
You can log into there, and we have all the information as to what products we sell. If you want to get an auto quote, there's a button there. Click for a quote now. It'll give you a quote instantly.
Do you do auto and health? What do you guys do?
We do automobile insurance, homeowners insurance, business insurance like general liability,
right.
Workers' compensation, bonds. And if you need construction bonds also, we do that.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of – we also do health insurance and life insurance.
All right.
It's a one-stop shop.
Okay, awesome. I would think in your business that, and you've already talked about this a little bit. Let me go somewhere first. Let me interrupt myself. I can tell, I told you during a break, I can tell from your accent that you're not from around here. You're from Georgia. Or maybe you're from way south Georgia. I don't know. But where are you from and how'd you get here?
I'll give you an answer in just a second. I was told once when somebody said, what's your name? I said, ASFAR Huck. They said, your name does not sound from South Georgia. I said, you're absolutely right. No, I'm from India. I've been here since 1979. This is home. I came here, did my MBA here from Atlanta University, which it used to be
right.
called. And I've been in insurance business since 1981.
Well, it's a very pleasant accent. We hear the, with good reason, we hear Indian accents as having a British tinge to it because you got a bit of British way of saying things.
That is because we were ruled by Britishers for 300 years.
Right.
And we went through the British schooling. I did my senior Cambridge in India, which was all English media.
Wow. You know, and of course, you've been here for many, many years. But you know, in America, when we say that you were ruled by someone for three, you know, we're not 300 years old. This is an amazing thing.
Very correct.
To think about that. I would think in your business, in the insurance business, that networking is a very important part of your. And you already mentioned you sponsor some events and so forth. Tell us other ways you do that networking.
There are community events that will happen where there will be a food drive.
Right.
Where there will be health fairs that we will sponsor, kids' games we will sponsor. Then there's other things that I will do when I'll call people at my home, basically. It's basically a party out type thing, dinner thing.
Right.
And then we'll say, if you guys have anything, we'll have a speaker come along and do some topic on whether it's the everyday affairs, whether it's political affairs, all of those things.
Right.
For networking purposes. But one of the things I never forget to ask is a referral.
Right. When you did you buy Bulldog as an existing business? That's what you did, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did they already have insurance carriers they were carrying? I mean, did you already have products you were carrying there when you?
They had very few carriers.
Okay.
And you know, the sad part about it is carriers have the right to cancel your contract once an agency changes hands.
Right.
That's your right. And we did face that challenge. And some carriers said, no, we are not going to do it. But we had to tell them, give us an opportunity. Let us work with you.
Right.
You work with us and see how we do it. And we did not lose a single contract. As a matter of fact, we ended up getting more contracts over the period of time. And we were first just writing automobile insurance. And we did for anybody. And we had a saying in our business says, if it moans, groans, talks, and does anything else, if you can push it in, pull it in, drag it in, bring it on in, if you've got the money, I've got the time.
Maybe we'll adopt that as a slogan in our company. That's a good idea. Did you have any problems, like you picked up some new lines, and I would assume when you took it over, they probably were, and I think anyone buying a business would probably face this. They were probably a bit suspicious of you, not knowing you when you first took over the business.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I did not know anything about property and casualty. I was in a life and health agent. So the gentleman whom I bought it from, he said, let me walk you through it. And he tried his way because, you know, he had financed the business.
Right.
So he thought, let me work it out where he may not be able to succeed and I may be able to take the business. But we come from India where work ethics are just second to none.
Right.
And we worked extremely hard, extremely diligently, learned the process, and we never looked back.
Were there employees already there when you took it over?
There was only one employee there.
Okay.
Currently, we have 9 employees working full-time.
Right.
We used to just write automobile insurance at that point of time. Now right. We write everything that you need under the sun.
Right.
We used to do mutual funds also, but we don't do it anymore.
Right.
Because of the licensing issues that you talked earlier.
You know, we had bought a business in New York some years ago, and this is a way of confession. It was the first time I'd ever bought a business, and we had existing employees there. And I really didn't handle it. I didn't know how to handle it very well, to be honest. I learned the hard way. And we have fabulous people up there now. Some of them were there since the beginning. And they're wonderful people, and I get along great with them, and I love them to death. But in the beginning, you know, they saw me as an outsider coming in, and you know, and they didn't know me, so there's a bit of suspicion there. Going plus, they're in New York, a long ways away, so I'm not too face to face with them, and it was a steep learning curve for me to learn how to do that.
No, one of the biggest advantages I faced was my wife, who also had done her CPA but doesn't practice it.
Right.
She also joined me in the business.
Right.
So if somebody wanted to threaten me that they were getting to leave, we'd say, okay, go ahead, have your day. I would never let an employee put my back against the wall.
Right.
And that's one reason why we have long-term employees that have worked with me for 10, 15 years. We treat them like family.
Right.
We are there in their happiness and sadness. And we take care of them like family. So they are very loyal family employees of mine. I don't treat them like employee. I tell them, we work together. You don't work for me, you work with me.
I hear that over and over again with successful business people, and I think to people that are not, that don't own or run or help or don't have leadership roles within businesses, are sometimes surprised to hear owners of businesses say that. But you know what you really do want, if you have any sense at all, you're running a business, you want a team around you, not a bunch of robots. It doesn't do you any good to have a bunch of robots working for you.
You're so correct. Our claim to fame is service.
Right.
Anybody can sell you a policy with a premium.
Right.
But if they're not there when you call them, what's the use?
Right.
I have given, in my own instance, I had a client that owns Church's Fried Chicken. He called me up on a Sunday morning. There was a shootout that had happened.
Wow.
And he said, as far, did you hear the news last night? I said, no. I said, what happened? He said, I was in the news. There was a shooting happened. I said, and? I said, he said, my employee got killed. I said, you have workers' compensation. He said, yeah, didn't you write it? I said, no, XYZ agent wrote it. I said, I do your general liability and package. And I said, that's a workers' compensation claim. And there's also a general liability claim which you'll file. He says, by the way, do you know his number? I said, he's your agent. I don't know his number. And he called me at 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Now he's brought all his business over to me. We take care of all of it.
I have been through that same thing a few times where you just decide you need to deal with somebody that you can find and that you know. That's a very important part, I think, of dealing with business to be able to do that. Very quickly, we have about a minute here. The laws governing insurance vary, as we mentioned, from state to state, and especially health insurance. And with all the hoopla now about health insurance, I'm just curious about your take on the national health insurance, and particularly coming from India. What's your take on this?
I personally feel that everybody should have health insurance, whether they pay it or some form of it. They need to have it.
Right.
Because otherwise they go to get health care, you know, they go to the medical centers, emergency rooms, and the bills are not paid.
Right.
I mean, would you work for free? You would not work for free. You would work to, you want to get compensated. Get health insurance in place. Pay whatever deductibles you want, whether they want a low deductible or they want a high deductible. But I personally feel that everybody should have some form of health insurance.
I agree with that. We have had, there are a number, you know, one of the big news issues now is that there are a lot of fairly well-to-do younger people who are not signing up because they feel they're invulnerable. I just think that's part of youth, perhaps, and not some of the wisdom you get to be. My age, you begin to figure out things can go wrong with you. I mean,
no, there's a thing which
in
is
fact,
called,
they are going to go wrong with you.
There's a thing which is called invincibility. You know, at age 25 and 30 and 35, they think, oh, I'm larger than life.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen. And guess what? They end up going to skiing and end up breaking up.
Exactly.
And who pays for that bill?
Exactly.
It'll cost you. It'll cost you not to have it.
It exactly does. You know, there are several ways of starting an insurance agency, and you actually mentioned this, and after the break I want to talk to you about it, but you decided to buy one instead of open your own, and you already alluded to the reasons for that, but I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break. You are listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the third segment of Driven to Business. We're heard every Saturday morning here on WAFS, Atlanta's Biz 1190. We're the best business radio in Atlanta, so tune in. By the way, we're also streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com, so check us out there. As far as we were talking before the break, and you had bought your agency rather than starting one. A lot of entrepreneurs in and out of the insurance business, that's something that I think they deal with, is it, do they, you know, they want to start a business, so do you start one from scratch or do you buy an existing one? Now, you had specific reasons for buying yours.
Yes. I bought mine because it had a revenue flow in the business. Then I said, whatever money I have, let me save it and I can use it to, fund it if needed be.
Right.
But my luck of the draw was I had income coming in from other sources, so I did not have to drain the agency income coming in to make the payments. So on the first of the month when the payment was due for the client, for the person who had bought the agency, he called me up. He said, hey, do you think you'll be able to make a payment? And there are a few things I will not say, but I said, yeah, I'm good to go. And he said, can you advance me some? And when you talk to me about advancing, then it's going to cost you.
Right.
So I kind of got him into the habit where every month he would want an advance and every month my payment would drop down. So if his payment was $5,000, it would be $4,500.
Right.
Depends on how many days advance you want it.
Right.
And so we never had to put money into the business.
Wow.
We we really worked very hard to work from what we had. For the first 5 months, I did not take any income from the business.
That's very, people that don't know, that's very typical for an entrepreneur that they don't do that. So that's very typical.
I did not take any money from the business because I had other income coming in so I could support my family and everything else. But from the 6 month on up, we just took a good ride home.
You know, we've had other guests on here talk about this, and I've talked about it myself with a number of other folks. You know, when people come to you and they have a business idea, they're going to start a business, many times they sort of have stars in their eyes, and they're sort of looking through rose-colored glasses. And one of the questions to ask someone is, okay, what if, again, if they're starting from scratch and they barely have enough money to keep that thing running. And, you know, one of the hard questions you have to ask is, okay, what if it does not go according to plan? What if instead of taking 3 months to get off the ground, it takes 8 months? What are you going to do? And a lot of their answer is, I have no idea. Well, that's not – you need to think that through a little better because nothing will go as planned, or at least everything won't go as planned. You can bet on it.
You're very correct on it. People, when they're looking to buy a business or get into business – majority of the times you will see it, and I may be wrong in these figures, but they think emotionally rather than thinking.
Right, you're right.
And you have to don't put your emotions aside and make a business decision. And then you say if it is good or not good. At that point in time, you can then decide, do I open from scratch? Do I buy a business or do I buy a franchise? And the reason why you may want to buy a franchise because they have a set system.
Right.
You have a set investment. You know how much money you're going to need. They give you all the numbers. While you're starting from scratch, you don't know the numbers. You don't know the pitfalls that you're going to come through. You know, even if you wanted to start an insurance agency, you don't know what companies are going to give you contracts and what products you're able to write or not write. Or you may not be able to get contracts. You know, we did not get good contracts for good 3-4 years into the game after doing that. So that's a situation that you have to look at as to what you begin and how you make it work.
You know, speaking just as a businessman in generic terms, and having had your own business, as far as there been anything that was a big surprise to you that after you started that you did not expect to happen?
One of the biggest surprises was when two of my carriers out of the six that were in the agency representing themselves at Bulldog Insurance, two of them came in and said, guess what? I'm canceling your contract because we have a right to cancel your contract. And all of a sudden, and those were your key players in the agency.
Right.
So I had to literally, excuse me for saying, but beg, borrow from them to say, hey, let me prove it to you what my work
is. Right.
And I was very thankful that they played ball with me.
You know, we've had a number of surprises in our business, some of which were very pleasant surprises. But, you know, we've also had one of the things and you may be this way now. When I first started, we would have a good month and I was just ecstatic about it. I was just so happy. And then we would have a bad month. And then I would just be totally depressed. And then there was like no middle person. Well, as time went on, I began to figure out you need to get that under control because having a great month this month does not mean you're going to have a good month next month. And having a bad month this month, well, then just buckle down and make next month better. I mean, and that's sort of the attitude. You got to take a longer-term attitude about it. And that's a lesson I learned, I think, from getting into it.
We have gone through the peaks and valleys. We knew in June and July would be our slow months. End of November, December would become the slow months.
Right.
So how do I make it work? And believe me, I used to plan for it. I used to put money aside and to make it work. But then I went out and I said, okay, these are the months I need to hustle and get more business in. Now, we have had a very good growth over the last few years. Because we have also gotten carriers that we represent.
Right.
So we can write any business that you basically need. You can call us at Bulldog Insurance. And we will be able to get you a quote.
I'll tell you, just as a consumer of insurance, not a person that buys it, I mean, that sells it to anyone, but owning a business that's in a fairly litigious type business, we do, you know, electrical dangerous things, and so but we have to carry a fair amount of liability insurance, a lot of workers' comp, a lot of property insurance, and insure our equipment, all that kind of thing. And plus health insurance for employees in three states. And, you know, it is so and what we have learned is that it not that I didn't already know this, it was just driven home more to me. It's so important that we deal with folks in the insurance business that we know and trust and that we believe and I can get in touch with when I need to because, you know, I'm not in the insurance business, don't want to be in it, don't want to know any more about it than I have to because that's not where we make money. And I think it's very important that people use an agency like yours or somebody that's trustworthy. And trustworthiness is a big, big deal.
And we basically, we have taken a path that we will become an expert in some of the fields that we write insurance in.
Right.
So that way, if you are a business owner, let's say you're running a restaurant, I can come and tell you what your pitfalls are. You're running a liquor store. You're running a hotel motel or a convenience store. I can exactly tell you what coverages you need, why you need them, and when will it come in handy. People don't realize that. There are things that I don't do, and I don't want to be a champion for that. You know, if you want to write automobile insurance, people will say, oh, give me the state minimum liability. No, it's not worth it. The medical bills will kill you. You need to get into a higher limits of liability. What does it cost? Cost very minimal to increase that coverage.
Right.
Guess what? It's a peace of mind at the end of the day. And very easily, if somebody's in a car accident, a $10,000 bill can become $300,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
If you have a state minimum liability, which is $25,000 per accident, $50,000 total, who's going to pay the bill? It's going to come on the car owner.
Right.
So might as well get a $300,000 liability coverage instead of not having that.
Right. Yeah. And even in our business, we carry large umbrellas over us for the very reason we need to have it.
Absolutely.
In the case, you know, you're a part of what you're describing there is what a lot of businesses have learned is that you need to figure out what business you're in exactly, and not try to be such a broad brush, because if you do that, it's hard to market to a broad brush. It's a lot easier to market to a niche.
Very correct. And we formed our niche. You know, you want hotel motels, you want liquor stores, you want daycare centers, you want liquor stores, convenience stores, call us. We will get you the best quotes from the best companies for the best coverages.
I don't run any of those, but I would think if I did, that would be good to know somebody that knew something about it.
That's why I mentioned the ones that you were not in.
Yeah, right. Hey, are you? You've already mentioned this briefly, but talk to us again about the importance of having the right team in place to do the things you're talking about.
I have a team in place where if you want to have personal lines insurance, which is automobile and homeowners and personal umbrella, we have a separate team in place for that, headed by my wife. I have a team in place where we have for commercial insurance. So it depends on what the necessity of the call is, what needs to happen. The team will handle it. Then we will get into it. If you have to file a claim, we'll take care of that. If you have to make changes or additions or deletions from the policies, we'll take care of that. At this day and time, people cannot tell you that I'll have it done and the company will process. Yes, company will process, but most of it is done online.
Right.
So you can go into the system and do it and get it done and over and send the client the satisfaction that he needs to proceed forward. You don't want the client holding on his breath, oh, my God, it's going to happen, it's not going to happen.
Right. The people that you have that are important to your business, are they mainly people that have that you kind of grew into up into the position, or did they come with experience already in the field?
No, I have a different choice of picking those people. Other than one gentleman in my office, everybody I have brought in and trained.
Okay.
And the reason is very simple. I trained them the way I want them to proceed,
right.
how I want them to handle my clients. And believe me, every one of them is absolutely awesome.
That it's great to hear a business owner say that. I feel the same way about the folks that work with us, as a matter of fact. I've become this again. There's a poster that shows a sinking ship. And it's one of these demotivator type posters, and it shows, you know, like a ship going down, and the caption is, "Perhaps the purpose of your life is to serve as a warning to others." And I sometimes think that's me, because I've made about every mistake can be made in business. And, you know, praise the Lord, I've been able to somehow or another survive despite it and even have some success. But, you know, one of the things that I learned was in hiring people is to pay much closer attention to who it is we're hiring. I hate the interview process. I hate going through all that stuff. And I have another gentleman that does most of it now, and not me. Back when I was doing it, I despised that job. I just did not like interviewing people. I like people. I just didn't like interviewing them. And consequently, I would just tend to look on their resume and see if they had skills, if they could do this, this, and this. You're hired. That's a big mistake. I mean, we spend more time now on the we're a technology business, but I spend more time on the high touch side of it than I do on the technology, because we learned we can train the technology, but we can't make somebody friendly that's not friendly.
I could not agree with you more. I've done enough mistakes in hiring people. Because I have a habit of saying, okay, he's coming, we need to give him a chance, let them give him a chance. And we do that, and I have made mistakes. We've had to let them go in 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
And then my wife would say, see, I told you should have listened to me.
Ah.
But now I finally said, you handle it.
You know, we've had a young lady that answers our phones, our receptionist type, and she, one time we had had a guy, and I had to let him go pretty quickly, and she said, I knew that guy wasn't going to make it here. And said, well, why didn't you tell me that before? I said, well, you didn't ask. Well, you know what? Now we ask. Part of the interview process is we have her sit in there and tell us what you think of this guy. Is he going to make it here? Has he got a nice personality? And I think that's so important that you can do that. You are listening to Driven to Business. We're having a lot of fun. We hope you are, and we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Driven to Business. Time flies by when you're having fun, or unconscious, whichever the case may be. But we're glad you're here. We're talking with Asfar, who is the owner of Bulldog Insurance here in town. And you can find links to him at eddiemayfield.com. It's also bulldoginsurance.com, I think he said.
That is good.
And so go there and check him out. It's very interesting. And a very gracious gentleman to talk to. As far as many of us depend on repeat business, in fact, I think almost all businesses, it's hard to think it would be not much fun to have a business that did not do repeat business. It'd be if you had to find a new customer every time. And it's very hard if people are leaving out the back door as fast as you're bringing them in. We've been talking about teams and about being friendly and that kind of thing. But in the insurance business particularly, you really depend on renewals, don't you?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. We had an agent who worked with us, and due to his family circumstances, he had to move back home. Would you believe it, Eddie, if I told you that we have maintained 97% of his business?
Wow, that's awesome.
Because any time the customers called, we took care of everything. We have not lost. Our renewal percentage is in the high 90s.
That's terrific.
We do not lose customers. Our average customers will stay with us between 5 to 7 years.
You know, that is the ultimate, honestly, that is the ultimate test of customer satisfaction. Is if they're renewing, if they're not satisfied, they're not going to renew with you, because there are plenty of other people out there they can go see about insurance. As you've already indicated, and you know, you, like me, we sell a technology product. But you don't have to buy it from me. It's made other. There's plenty of places to buy it. You got the internet. You got all kinds of things. You can go buy the products. And the reason people use our products and our services is because they think we're doing it better than someone else. And that's really what you have to do.
Absolutely correct. I have my first commercial client that I wrote on April 4th, 1993.
Wow.
He's still my client. And there are a few others like that who have not moved, because I have been there. We have been there. Our service team has been there to take care of them since they have been our client. And they have referred us. They have grown. They have won multiple businesses. They have bought homes, cars, life
right.
insurance, health insurance. And their friends have bought insurance. And who do you refer to? Okay, here. And they'll refer us to their brokers. So our referral and repeat business has just been absolutely awesome, where we have made a living.
You know, for a business like us, a small business, insurance, and in that, I include all sorts of insurance, liability, workers' comp, health, you know, you name it, property, casualty, things of that sort. It's a huge expense. And more and more of our customers in the business I'm in, we provide a lot of field services on variable frequency drives and so forth. They demand that we make them a co-insured on our policies because of the litigious society that we live in, and they just don't want to be sued. Consequently, I've been a big advocate for tort reform here in the country, both state and federal level, to cut back not on legitimate. I understand if someone's legitimately negligent and someone gets injured, then somebody ought to pay for that. I got that. But there's so much. We face so many frivolous things that how do you see this?
I agree with you. Let me explain it very simple. People would, in yesteryears, people would come in and say, hey, I want to insure this car. And guess what? The car was not even in their name. It was in the girlfriend's name or the boyfriend's name and not titled to them. They'd have insurance. And somebody sued me for that. Oh, I told him what to do. I said, ma'am, if you would have told me, I would have taken care of it. It takes me 2 minutes to get you the quote.
Right.
She sued me. We won. We won. The judge gave a judgment in favor of us. But those things happen. I just don't agree with that. I mean, we have to be there responsible for what we do. We cannot afford to be negligent on our businesses.
Right.
We cannot afford to be stupid on our businesses. We have to be very smart. There's one other piece of thing that I would advise you to do to look at your cost from cutting down the cost would be to keep some deductibles in-house.
Right.
See, in general liability, we're so used to having zero deductibles. You can get a $500 or $1,000
right.
deductible. So in workers' compensation, it's called self-insuring.
Right.
Just like how in health insurance you have your deductible.
Right.
But utilize the deductibles in the general liability and workers' comp, and you will save some 10% of the dollars in the premiums. That's the savings directly in your pocket.
I really am. For me personally, even in the area of health, which most people will understand, I'm in a position where if I had my druthers, I would have an extremely high deductible, and very low premiums. That's the way I would do it. But because of, and I'm not suggesting we're going to do that, because the problem is in a small, closely held business that would affect my employees. And they can't, they're not in a position to do that. So I'm not allowed to do that. I don't do it because I'm not allowed, I don't want to put them in that position. But you know, I really do view insurance as just that, insurance, not as a, I don't want to go file a claim every time for every $100 thing that happens somewhere.
Let me just give you a very quick idea, and you may want to instill that in your people. And companies are all trying to offer these things as an incentive
right.
to keep your premiums low. What you can do is I've personally kept a $5,000 deductible in my health insurance.
Right.
Okay. But then for the last 3 years, I've not consulted the doctor where I've been so sick that I cannot handle it. You understand?
Right.
I've maintained my health.
Right.
Thank God. I maintain my health. And if people, and what you can do is, for the money that you save in saving the premiums, you can say, hey, guess what? Your membership to the health club is going to cost so much, but I want you to take this membership.
Yeah.
Okay? And I want to see a sign in and sign out as to when you went and how much you worked at it. So if an employee is healthy, you're not going to have health insurance claims. They're going to, and you're not going to have work time loss.
But that, but think as far as that would mean, my wife would then make me go. You don't understand.
I agree with you. But that's the name of the game. I mean, you have to keep yourself healthy. You have to try to do some self-insurance on your part to make things responsible.
Hey, if a young person, I'm sure you're in a position to advise young people at times, if a young person wanted a career in insurance, what would you advise them to do?
Say, come on, let's begin. Let's begin. As a matter of fact, I have two people currently on my staff that we are training. One was an ex-Marine. And he was at TSA. We put
right.
him in. Sharp guy. I have another guy who's a psychology graduate from Georgia State University, and he's taking his exams and beginning in. I love those people. Those are people. If they succeed, people will see me through their eyes. That's my ultimate objective.
Right. In business in general, since you started your business, since you've owned that business back in the 90s, have you seen any, can you name a major change, like probably the major change you've seen take place in owning a business, or has there been since the beginning?
Not that I can expect, excepting that the clients have started to expect a lot more from you.
Right.
A lot more quicker responses.
Yeah.
Because of what the internet media has done. All the information is available readily, so they say, well, give it to me now.
Yeah.
Everybody's riding on a horse these days rather than taking the bull ride.
That's a very good point. You know, I attribute that in some ways to the remote control. You know, we're all used to changing channels, just changing as we go along and it happening right now. And, you know, a long time ago, it's hard to believe this now, but before FedEx became well known, and before UPS began overnight deliveries and all that, you know, I was in field service, and we used to get parts delivered to us on Greyhound buses. That's how the parts would come, and so there was no such thing as an immediate delivery. It was like you'd tell a guy it's going to be day after tomorrow. Well, nowadays people go crazy. You tell them that. I mean, they want to reach you on a cell phone now. I mean, right now, and they want an answer in an hour from you.
I have given everybody my cell phone number. If you want me to, I'll give it to you. But people call me on my cell phone.
Right.
7 o'clock at night, and they call me back at 9 o'clock in the morning. Did you have my coat?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm up, I'm working, but my underwriter's not.
Right.
That's the thing. But, you know, it's the information age. But you have to adapt to it, you have to work with it, and you have to be at speed.
Yeah, I agree. And just keep changing that and keeping the customers happy. Ansfar, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much for being here
Thank
today.
You. Thank you, Eddie. It's
been and again, Ansfar's his website is bulldoginsurance.com. You can also find a direct link to that on eddiemayfield.com. We're here every Saturday morning on biz1190.com right here in Atlanta. I am Eddie Mayfield, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.